You have your Bible this morning, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. We're continuing our study through this wonderful book of Matthew, and we have for some weeks spent much time on the Beatitudes, which are the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. We want to begin reading in Matthew chapter 5 in the very first verse, and I will ask you if you would stand with me as we read. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That's the reading of Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, if correctly read. This morning we want to study verse 9, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I want to point this out before I pray, that the scripture is very clear. This is not about salvation. This is salvation having already been obtained. The Bible says they shall be called. It did not say that they shall be made the children of God. They shall be called the children of God. There is a difference. When God saves you, you are made into a new creature. This is not about salvation. This is about Christian conduct and character after salvation. Amen. The first thing I think about when I think about blessed are the peacemakers is the perfect peacemaker. Now, there are thousands of people that are following Jesus because he went into Galilee and he preached to them the gospel, and many were saved and began to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now, as they follow him, he sits down upon the mountain, and he begins to teach them the word. First of all, he said, Blessed are the poor in spirit. That is, those that see their spiritual need and realize they're bankrupt of self to solve their need and turn to the Lord God. The second one is, blessed are they that mourn, that is those that weep over their sin in godly sorrow, turning to the Lord in repentance. The third one is, blessed are the meek, that is those that are humble and lowly in spirit, those that are teachable, those that are pliable in the hands of God. The fourth one is, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is for those who desire the things of God. The fifth one is, blessed are the merciful, these that are compassionate about the needs of others, and they reach out and respond to the need. The next one is, blessed are the pure in heart, those that have right motives and right attitudes. And so often, most of us struggle right there to be continually pure in heart. Next of all, that's this ladder continues to grow for us. It's the next progressive step in this Christian walk, is blessed are the peacemakers. Now, many times Jesus has pronounced blessing, and the word is blessed. And that is that Greek word makarios, which means, my friend, to have a inner peace. It is to have a inner, deep, abiding joy. A lot of people have translated that word makarios to be the word happy. And that word happy derives from the word hap, which is subject to circumstance and to change. And we all know that some days we may be more happy than others. But we're not here to live in happy. We're here to live in the blessedness of Almighty God. And the Lord Jesus says in verse 9, Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, the word peace is used some 400 times in the King James Bible. And I want to point out real quickly that you cannot buy peace. You can try, but you cannot buy it.
Now in the book, Lessons of War, they said that there was 3,421 years of recorded history, the last 3,421 years that they've recorded, and only 268 of those years have been peaceful. Now you would think out of 3,421 years of war, somebody would pause long enough to reload. Some people's definition of a truce is we've got to reload before we fire again. The Military Journal said that over 8,000 peace treaties have been made and broken. In 1945, at the end of World War II, the United Nations was established. Since that time, there has not been one day of peace since the United Nations was established. What about that? You realize this morning we continue to see nation rise against nation. We continue to have no true peace in our society. And we're not going to have true peace until the Prince of Peace, which is Jesus Christ, comes again. And friend, He is coming. Now I want to say this about so many wars taking place. I can read James chapter 4, the first four verses, and the Lord will tell us why there's so many wars. And basically it's for this reason. We have wars that are an outward expression of an inner condition that God is not inside us. People have wars because the Lord Jesus Christ is not inside their heart. And that's huge. Jesus is that perfect peacemaker. I want to say this morning that under this heading of the perfect peacemaker, that peace was planned by the Father. Romans chapter 15, verse 33 says that God is a God of peace. He says in Jeremiah chapter 29, He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God is a God of peace, and He planned this thing and sent His Son that you and I might have peace. And then the Son, my friend, purchased our peace. Now I'm sure that as Jesus is preaching to those Jews that are gathered around the mountain there, that they believe that the Messiah will be a warlike man and will overthrow the Roman government. And Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus didn't come to overthrow government. He came to purchase peace when He gave His life on a cruel Roman cross that He might save our souls and give peace to our inner man. So these folks that are sitting here, many of them have been saved and they realize that Jesus is the perfect peacemaker. Because when they trusted in Him, they found newfound peace inside the inner man for the first time. And He said, blessed are the peacemakers. What an encouragement it was to the people, this very statement. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 about Jesus, that Jesus is our peace. You realize He paid a great price for your peace? Colossians 1:20 says, having made peace through the blood of His cross by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. This peace was planned by the Father. It was purchased by the Son, and it's been provided by the Spirit. You realize Ephesians tells us that one of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. So Jesus this morning is the perfect peacemaker. And when He said, blessed are the peacemakers, what an encouragement we have to follow Him. Now I want to ask this question before we get into preaching the message. Would you be considered a peacemaker? Number two this morning, I want to have you consider that the peacemaker has personal peace. You cannot be a peacemaker until you've been surrendered and submitted to the authority of Jesus Christ. Being a peacemaker is a laying down of arms to serve Jesus. You cannot be a peacemaker until you have peace inside your own heart. There are many right now that have Nobel Peace Prizes, and I've studied many of them. They did not have real, true, genuine peace that Jesus spoke about. You see, peace without righteousness is not real peace. And Mr. Nobel knew that very, very well. You must have an inner abiding peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. So the only way that a peacemaker can really be a peacemaker is he has to have the inner peace of God inside his own soul. There are a lot of folks today who will sit down and give marriage counseling to someone. And that marriage counselor is not even a Christian. That marriage counselor doesn't even know about inner abiding peace. But he'll tell you or she'll tell you what you should or should not do in your own personal life. Hey, I have news for them. They need to know the peacemaker. And if they'll know the peacemaker, then they're qualified to sit down and talk to someone about making peace. A peacemaker does not fan the fires of contention and strife. Oh, no. A peacemaker will use wisdom that God has given him to work in a divided home or in a divided situation. I believe a peacemaker is someone who brings the good news of the Word of God. I'll be honest with you. When I was lost, I was at variance to God. I was at enmity with God. I was at war with God. But there was an old-time man of God that walked into that pulpit and opened this blessed gospel of peace and preached to me the Word of God and presented to me the perfect peacemaker, which is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I tell you, when that man of God got up there and preached to me, the Holy Ghost took that message and convicted my heart, brought me to an altar. I got saved, amen, and made peace with God. I would consider that old man of God, Brother Percy Ray, a peacemaker. He was interested in me obtaining peace and knowing peace with the great God of all glory. Now, the peacemaker then, according to the Word of God, is not just some arbitrary person who sits down to counsel. It's someone who has personal peace themselves, and it is someone, my friend, that is interested in there being peace between man and Almighty God. Do you have personal peace today? Do you have peace with God? And do you have the peace of God? Number three this morning, it's going to get more difficult. The peacemaker has a pursuit of peace. The word peace is the Greek word irene, or irene. And it is where we get our word irene. And it is a word which means peace. And in the Hebrew word is the word shalom. And this peace, shalom and irene, is not just a peace that's free from trouble and free from warfare and the absence of conflict in your life. This is a word that means that you are at harmony with God. Today, is your life at harmony with God? I mean, is everything in your life what God would intend it to be? That's a deep question, isn't it? And my friend, we need to be closer to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Being a peacemaker carries the idea that this person, this peacemaker, is being used by the Lord to instill or to establish and bring peace to individuals. Preacher, what do you mean? Well, when God saved you and I, He called us into the ministry of reconciliation. He's given every Christian a ministry of reconciliation. God made every one of us agents for the Son of God to go out and reconcile the world to God. In fact, He has given us an ambassadorship. Somebody may say, preacher, what do you mean I'm an ambassador? You're an ambassador. An ambassador is the highest ranking official from a foreign country standing on foreign soil. This morning I'm standing on foreign soil. This world is not my home. I'm simply passing through. But while I'm here, I'm ambassador for the King of Glory to tell others about the peace that only Jesus can give. A peacemaker is an agent, is an ambassador of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he does have this abiding personal peace. When he sits down to speak with someone about peace, he knows, because he has experienced this peace himself or herself before he ever starts talking to folks. Now, the peacemaker, this is going to be deep. The peacemaker is not just a person who loves peace. A peacemaker is not just a person who has a peaceful or a pleasant disposition. Oh no. The peacemaker is someone who actively, positively intervenes and gets involved in other people's lives to make peace. You see, a lot of times today in society, we'll see these so-called peace activists got their signs and they're protesting on the street. But what happens is their peace activity parade turns into more trouble than tranquility. You ever seen what I'm talking about? Where the peace activists burn down buildings and blow up cars to try to get their point across. That is not being a peacemaker. That's being a troublemaker. Preacher, you're going to get in trouble. No, I'm just preaching what the Word of God says. You being a peacemaker is not you bringing turmoil and trouble to everybody's life. You see, the natural tendency for our flesh is to hear about contention, to know there are problems, and sit on the sideline and do nothing about it but talk about it. You hear about problems and you see problems, but do you get actively involved to solve problems? You see, a peacemaker is a person who will stand up and confront those things that are wrong. You see, being a peacemaker is not about appeasement. I remember Lord Chamberlain, when World War II was about ready to get started, he sought out to make a peace treaty with Hitler. And they signed that document thinking there'll be no war. We've appeased Mr. Hitler and we've made peace. Appeasement is not peace. It's postponement. You may try to avoid confrontation and say, in my avoiding confrontation, I'm making peace. Oh no. Jesus, the great perfect peacemaker, said this. He said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth, but he's come to divide. There is a demarcation line between righteousness and wickedness. And the great peacemaker stands on that line and confronts sin, facing it head on. When I got saved, the man of God that I called a peacemaker, and you said amen, confronted me with the gospel. He called me a sinner. He said I was going to hell. He didn't pat me on the back and say, well, I pray for your peace, my son. No, he confronted my sin in the name of Jesus that I might be saved. A peacemaker is willing to stand up and contend in righteousness. Are you with me? You remember when Jesus went in the house of God and they were making merchandise in his house and selling things and changing money? And Jesus said, you've turned my house into a den of thieves. Do you think he said, oh, bless your heart, I'm praying for you. Maybe God the Father will straighten you out. We want things to get a little better. Y'all just keep doing this. No, bless God. The great peacemaker grabbed a whip and started flipping their tables over. When he said quit, and they said, we ain't quitting, he said, this is my Father's house, and you're not doing that here. And in the name of peace, he made war. Amen. He was willing to contend for the name of righteousness, that the Father's house might be a house of peace. Hey, the church needs to be a house of peace. And if we have to stand up and contend to do so, then that's what we're going to do. But sweeping things under the rug and not dealing with things and avoiding things is not going to bring peace. It will not bring peace to your marriage to avoid your conflicts. You need to be a peacemaker. Will admit that there are issues, that there are problems, and he will face them. Many marriages have gone south because people would not acknowledge there was problems in their marriage. I think about the peacemaker named Apostle Paul. In the book of Philippians, I want you to turn there because you're going to need to see this morning. In the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, this great peacemaker called Paul, he begins to write an encouraging letter to the church at Philippi, and the Holy Spirit used it to be recorded in the Word of God. And I want you to see what he does as he confronts an issue. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. You see, these two women were not getting along in the church and causing a lot of problem. So do you think Paul said, well, we just pray about it. We'll choose sides. I'll go with this side or that side, or I'll just steer clear of them and I won't get involved. It's not what Paul did. Paul said that Euodias and Syntyche needs to be of the same mind in the Lord and wrote it in the Word of God, name names. Are you with me? There's a time that you need to confront sin. But you hear what I'm going to tell you? There's a line of demarcation that you better be careful with as you counsel with somebody. A good peacemaker, as he is making peace or working for peace, he can contend without being contentious. A good peacemaker will disagree without being disagreeable. A good peacemaker, he will confront without being abusive. Are you with me? So many times nowadays we say, okay, yeah, preacher, I'll avoid it. That means I'm a peacemaker. I told you that won't work. You need to confront. Oh, then preacher, then bring it on. I'm ready to confront a few things today. Yes, sir. I'm ready to black a few eyes and bust a few noses and blood a few lips. I'm going to call it in the name of peace. You've given me my inspiration. I told you that a peacemaker contends without being contentious. A peacemaker may say to someone, I disagree with your stance, without being disagreeable. A peacemaker will confront without being abusive. He is not one to use sarcasm or criticism or condemnation. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. The world was condemned already. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. The peacemaker, he speaks the love of God or the peace of God in love and in humility. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, he said that we are to speak the truth in love. And I'll say this today. If you are a peacemaker, you will have opposition. If you think, well, I'm just at peace with everybody and I'm a peacemaker. No. Jesus had his adversaries. And I think a good peacemaker is known by the adversaries that he has. Sin was against our Savior. Satan was against our Savior. There were many Pharisees and many of the religious leaders that were against our Savior. He was the perfect peacemaker without sin. And he had opposition. There were adversaries to the peace that he offered. Yet he stood anyway. I'm asking today, are you involved actively and positively in the pursuit of peace? Fourthly this morning, what is the peacemaker's promotion of peace? What will he use to promote peace? First of all, he'll use the Scripture. Every problem, conflict, or trouble in our lives can be solved by the Word of God. You may say, preacher, you ain't walked a mile in my shoes. I'm telling you, this thing's got nothing to do with the Bible in my life. That's where you're wrong, my friend. The Bible has every answer for every problem. The issue is we just don't know it well enough. We need to use the Scripture. He says in Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law. Need to use the scripture. And then we need to go to the Lord in supplication. I guarantee you, a lot of our marriages, when we go to these marriage counselors that don't know anything about peace, there is no prayer offered in their offices. You need to go to the Lord in supplication and in prayer, seeking guidance and peace. In Psalm 34:6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Hey, when you're seeking peace, what about a soft answer? The Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. You know where we fail in making peace? Are you looking at me? We attack the person when we're supposed to attack the problem. Well, that's just it, preacher. The person is the problem. Well, that's the way you see it. But maybe I say you're the problem. Not me. I'm trying to solve this whole thing. Let me tell you something. If you want to get self-righteous, that is the problem. Self-righteousness will destroy a good church. To think you are better than someone else. What about seeking forgiveness? Oh, preacher, I could never do that. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 5:23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You need to seek forgiveness. Now, I can tell you about Abraham and Lot. There was strife between them. Abraham, he was the leader of the family. He had every right to make the decision. He said, Lot, you choose which land you want for you and your people, and I'll take the other. It'll be fine with me. His attitude and his actions sought peace, and it got him. What about Nabal and David? Do you remember that story? David had been out in the wilderness, and he had protected the sheep of Nabal, and he came to Nabal, and he said, I ask for a reward, a payment, for protecting your sheep. And Nabal said, I'll not give you anything. He was a wicked man. And David said, I'll take revenge on you right now. I'm going to kill you because you've cheated us. And Abigail, Nabal's wife, the peacemaker, runs quickly to David and first of all gives him a large gift of food. Let me say this to you. There's nothing that'll help make peace like a genuine gift from your heart. And I got Bible for that. I can show it to you after church. You may say, preacher, what about this women's prayer group? I like it. First, I thought, I don't know if it's going to work or not, but I'm telling you what, there's nothing like a good gift to help soften your heart a little bit. For those of you that didn't say amen, I hope you don't get anything for Christmas and come back and talk to me and tell me how you feel when it's all over. You'll be mad. Nothing like a good gift to help out, amen? I want to say to you today that if you'll sit down and you'll be sincere with each other like Abigail was when she gave this large gift of food and then she admitted, she goes, Nabal's in sin, Nabal's wrong, he's contentious, please forgive us. And she sought David's forgiveness and that obtained forgiveness. And her husband lived just long enough for God to kill him because he was a wicked man. I want to say to you today, there's all kinds of examples in the Word of God. When the church would not receive Apostle Paul, it was Barnabas that stepped up and said, I trust him. Put his hand out to him. Barnabas, his name means son of consolation, son of comfort. He was a man that was very active in promoting peace. Hey, are you known as an encourager in this church? Are you known as someone who actively works to maintain peace in the church? I mean, I could go on and on. I think about an old preacher out of the 1920s. His name was Reverend J. Frank Norris. He had a real strong reputation for preaching hard sermons. This is one of the titles he used. The 10 Biggest Devils in Fort Worth, Texas, by name. He got in the pulpit and said the mayor didn't have enough wisdom to manage the hog pen. Some of the mayor's constituents called the preacher and threatened him. And they came over to his house to talk to him about it, and the preacher took out a revolver and shot and killed the man. He was always calling people names from the pulpit. And people loved to hear him preach because they didn't know what he was going to say next, but it's dangerous. Now he shot and killed a man. And it went to the judge and to the jury, and they let him go and said it was self-defense. But his testimony for being a peacemaker in Fort Worth, Texas, was ruined because of his ability to be so cantankerous. I want to close this morning and say this. According to the scripture in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Hey, the peacemaker has a preciousness to peace. To be called a child of God. Now I realize you may get in some situation you'll be called everything but a child of God. But I'm not talking about what men's going to call you. I'm talking about what God is going to call you. He calls you a child of God. To be a child is the most intimate description, the most tender affection he can put upon you. The peacemaker has put on the very attribute and the very character of Almighty God. He said in John chapter 1 and verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Therefore, the hallmark of being a Christian is to be a peacemaker. Here's what I'm going to tell you. A Christian who is not a peacemaker is either not really saved or living in disobedience. If you're a person who is continually disruptive and divisive and quarrelsome, you need to doubt your relationship with Jesus. I'm afraid there's been many that's been made a child of God, but don't act like it. And friend, this morning, the peacemaker is to restore those that are gone astray. The peacemaker is to correct those that have a spirit of unforgiveness. The peacemaker is to confront the divisive. And the peacemaker is to clear up misunderstandings. You know, the world needs to see a church that's at peace. I mean, can we say that the pastor and the deacons are at peace? Can we say that the deacons and the Sunday school teachers and the choir members are at peace? Can we say that the Sunday school teachers with the superintendents are at peace? Can we say the Sunday school teachers are at peace with each other over who goes to whose class? Can we say there's peace in our family? Oh, preacher, I just don't want to get involved. To say you're not going to get involved tells me you're not being a peacemaker. But I just know I better stay away from it because it'll be more trouble than it's worth. It's not worth clearing up for the glory of God. A peacemaker seeks peace in his family and he seeks peace with his friends. Have you ever had a friend hurt you? Somebody you trusted stab you in the back, wide out and open? Can you forgive them? I didn't ask you, can you trust them? Okay, trust is earned. I'm asking, can you forgive them? Can you seek peace? Can you seek a relationship? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You see, preacher, that's where I quit. I quit last week on that pure in heart thing. I just can't do that. I ain't going to be pure in heart. I ain't going to try. If Jesus really saved you, he lives in you. And because he's pure in heart, you can be pure in heart. And because he's the perfect peacemaker, so can you be. So can you be a peacemaker with your spouse, with your children, with your family. I know they got all your inheritance. I know you're mad. But they don't say, they don't have all these parentheses behind it, except it's for this, unless it's for that. God says, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, I'm going to tell you something, church. These beatitudes are the attitudes we ought to have. And I'm telling you, they're deep and they're hard. But the best thing you'll ever do is agree with God and say, Lord, I need to be that.